Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is WGR Sports Radio 550 Breaking News, powered by Radio.com Sports.
The Buffalo Sabres have made it official. The 19th head coach in franchise history is Ralph Krueger. And that is the breaking news this morning. WGR Breaking News, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. The Sabres have released a statement, a press release on the hiring of Ralph Krueger. Let me get you some of the quotes in here. By the way, hi, Howard and Brayton with you. Jeremy's off. He's back Friday. Sal sitting in studio for this final hour of the show. And we are waiting to hear from all you Sabre fans. Phone lines are open. We're waiting. Let's go. 803-0550. Would love to get your opinions in on Ralph Krueger. Jason Bottrell, Sabres general manager, in this press release announcing the hire of Ralph Krueger, says, quote, throughout his career, Ralph has shown the ability to adapt to a variety of high-pressure environments while leading some of the world's elite players. His strong communication skills, leadership, and diverse background make him a uniquely qualified candidate to lead our team going forward. That is from Sabres GM Jason Bottrell. Ralph Krueger is quoted in the press release as well. I'm excited and honored to join the Buffalo Sabres family. We'll strive to maximize the potential that lies within this team. I look forward to building on the many positives that have been established within the organization. I'm especially eager to get behind the bench and represent this passionate hockey city. So those are the two quotes in the press release from the Sabres. Jason Bottrell expected to meet with the media. He is back here in town, had come back from Slovakia, where he was for the World Championships, is back in town. I guess had some scouting meetings to go through here. So came back and is expected to meet with the media at some point this morning. Whenever that is, I don't believe we've gotten a time on that yet. Whenever it is, we will have that for you live. We will carry the press conference live here on WGR. Ralph Krueger is apparently in Europe, and it looks like the Sabres will have a media conference call with Ralph Krueger sometime this afternoon. And I'm sure if we don't have that live for you, that you'll be able to hear some of those comments during the afternoon show with Shope and the Bulldog here on WGR. So let me do this real quick, and then Sal and I will continue our discussions on Ralph Krueger. So who is Ralph Krueger? Okay. He's 59 years old. His NHL experience is limited to 3 years in Edmonton. He was named an associate coach under Tom Rennie back in 2010, I believe it was. And after 2 years as the associate coach, he was promoted to head coach when they got rid of Tom Rennie. He was the head coach for 1 year. It was the lockout shortened 48-game 2012-2013 season. The Oilers went 19-22-7. And after that season, Craig McTavish, who was the GM at that point, decided he wanted Dallas Eakins to be the head coach of the Oilers, so they fired Ralph Krueger after the 1 year as head coach. He has extensive international coaching experience. Switzerland. He has coached Switzerland in the Olympics, 2002, 2006, 2010. He led their national team in 15 international tournaments over 13 years. One of the feathers in his cap, so to speak, is his work with Team Europe at the 2016 World Cup of Hockey when they surprised everybody by finishing second in that tournament. And for the last 5 years, he has been chairman of the Southampton Club in the English Premier League. That is who Ralph Krueger is. And I think it's interesting, Sal, you and I were talking about Krueger and you know, reasons to at least have an open mind on this. We always, our job includes reading into comments made by people and determining, maybe going a little bit deeper into what we think they're saying. So I just read the statement from Jason Bottrell, and I'm really reading that. Has shown the ability to adapt in a variety of high-pressure environments while leading some of the world's elite players, strong communication skills, leadership, diverse background. And I'm reading that thinking, okay, well, Housley didn't have some of those areas, you know? And it goes back to our discussion about hiring a guy with NHL experience. I think Bottrell definitely wanted that. But it sounds like he is also putting stock into at the very least, even the World Cup of Hockey. That was an NHL team he coached. Hang on. Okay, so the Kruger conference call is at 12:30. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Brayton.
So I don't think there's not an actual press conference, right? It's just going to be a conference call.
Well, I think Bottrell's going to be available.
Okay, so Bottrell, there you
go. He's in town, so I assume they'll make him available at the arena. But Kruger's in Europe, so he'll be on a conference call at 12:30. So anyway, you know, I think some of the things he mentioned in his statement are things that we talked about. Like, he's looking for, communication skills. Right, be able to, you know, get your message through to the players, get them to buy in, right? We hear a lot about buying in these days in sports. Leadership, diverse background. You know, I think the leadership thing was important. He had, apparently was looking for a guy who, quote-unquote, had presence or command in the room. And I think he feels that was an area where Phil Housley was lacking. You know, he didn't really have a long resume of coaching that Kruger does with his international experience. So I read that and I think, right, there's just some areas that Phil Housley was deficient in that he thinks he's getting with Ralph Kruger coming in, even when you throw in the international experience. So that's anyway the statement from the Sabres, and we'll continue talking about Kruger with you. It's funny. I wanted to bring this up. Thank you for the person tweeting it in, because I mentioned this in the first hour and I completely forgot to get back to it. Got a tweet about the Swiss team. But this isn't what I want to bring up, but it triggered something else. I remember watching the Swiss team with Jonas Hiller stealing the show, finishing second, losing to Canada, 2016 World Cup. You're right. No matter what coach you bring in, it's up to the GM to overhaul the roster. I did want to point that out about his Swiss team, Sal. And again, what this means and how it translates into success or failure with the Sabres, I have no idea. But one thing that I always remember thinking back now about the Swiss teams that he coached, and the teams that were in the Olympics were not filled with NHL players. I'm curious. Maybe I'll go back at some point today and look at those rosters. I feel like they wouldn't have had more than two, maybe three guys with some NHL experience on the Swiss Olympic rosters. A handful. His teams were always very competitive. You know, it's Switzerland. They were never in the elite group of hockey teams, right, in the Olympics. It's the U.S., it's Canada, it's Finland, it's Russia, it's Sweden. You might even get to the Czech Republic before you got to Switzerland. And yet, his teams always played sound hockey. They were always competitive. They seem to give fits all the time to the powers of the world, the Canadas, the U.S.s, the Russias. I don't know if they ever actually medaled at any point in those three Olympic games, but I was always impressed at how they played better than anybody anticipated the Swiss to play against the hockey powers of the world. So for what it's worth, you know, his teams with Switzerland in the Olympics against teams that had full rosters or mostly full rosters of NHL talent, his teams always played well in those tournaments.
Find a way to win. Find a formula that works. Find a game plan. Just find a way to do it. I mean, that's and how do you do that? Through communication and getting guys to do and understand what you want. And that's it for me. When I read and hear what Thomas Vanek had said and other people about his communication skills, how he is respected. And, you know, the other point you made, too, earlier, talking about, you know, the entire team and coaching everybody, and everybody matters. And I've made this point about this was the big difference that I really saw, a big difference between, like, Rex and Sean McDermott. You know, I think Rex, that wasn't as, how do I want to say this without sounding even worse than it is? Like, I think Rex really relied on the top-end talent, and the rest of the guys will fall into place, and, you know, we'll put them in good spots, but yeah. These are the guys that matter. Whereas Sean McDermott came in and he coached the entire team. Roster.
Yeah, I know.
Like, everybody's exactly the same, right?
It,
like, yeah, sure, we have talent and these guys are the starters and they're going to be the more productive contributors. Mm-hmm. But I don't care if you are the last guy on the roster, you're getting coached the same every single day.
Right.
And I don't think that was the case when Rex Ryan was here. It was, I'm relying on these guys to be my studs. And, you know, when you get your chance, you'll get in there and you better fall into place. And this Kruger seems like he's more of the, look, we're coaching everybody.
Right.
Because at some point I got to rely on you and I need you to know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, look, and you can have, it's funny, I think you can have stars on the team. Right. Everybody knows who they are. But I was thinking about the Bruins, because one of the Bruins are getting credit for one of the things they're getting credit for in their playoff run is, boy, their fourth line is contributing and they have, you know, all the guys matter and all this stuff. It's not just Marchand and Bergeron and Pastrnak and Chara. It's their depth guys that are important to them, and they're coming up with key plays. And maybe that gets to your concept of you are coaching an entire team. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Sorry, I'm just looking at Twitter while I'm trying to talk. The Vanek comments. So let me read those again because those are interesting. So, you know, as we try and learn about Ralph Krueger, you know, there's, you know, we've all had, we had Jack Michaels on the show this week, the Edmonton Oilers play-by-play man. Afternoon guys spoke with Jonathan Willis from The Athletic, who covers the Oilers. And we've talked to guys who covered the Oilers when Krueger was the coach. But you also want to hear from, like, guys who played for him, whether it was in Edmonton, whether it was on one of the Swiss teams, whether it was with Team Europe. So Vanek would have played for him in 2016 on Team Europe in the World Cup of Hockey on the team that ends up finishing second in that tournament. And this is a piece that John Vogel had at The Athletic. Here's some of the comments from Vanek, who was talking about this yesterday before the news became official, but he was rumored to be the next guy. It would be a huge, huge, huge get for Buffalo. I think very highly of him. He'll get the most out of any group. And he went on to say about the World Cup, okay, when they brought all these players together from eight different countries to form Team Europe. In the World Cup, not many picked us, but he's got a way of gluing a team together and getting them to play for each other. He's one of my favorite people. He's such a good people person. He's a great talker. He remembers names. He really, really cares about people. He doesn't care about your best player. He cares about every single guy on the team. He will make you feel that way. I think that's a talent. If you've never met him or you know him, you will get the same reaction when you walk away from him. Wow, he's great. And I think there's some other stuff I want to get to in a second, but I think this kind of goes to what you were talking about. Look, when we talk about coaches and success, sure, you should know the sport. You know, you should know how to coach. Maybe you got to know how to motivate guys, create the culture in the locker room, all the different things we talk about. One of them is, you know, communicating and getting guys to, quote, buy in. Look, I think if you want to get a team to buy in, what's the best way to do it? Make sure everybody knows how important they are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just say, you know what? Yeah, listen, I got Skinner, I got Eichel, I got Reinhart, the rest of you bums, just freaking play. I mean, you don't want to make the fourth line guys feel like they're fourth line guys.
That's
like
right.
You want everybody to know, look, the 23 guys, right? We're all in this together. And 53 guys in football. We're not going to win just because of the quarterback and maybe, you know, the top five or six guys. We need everybody. And if you're out there on special teams at some point, I need you to cover that kick. And I need everybody to contribute because that's how we win. We win as a group. We win as a team. And listening to or reading what Vanek had to say, you know, that's important. If you're going to get a team to buy in, you've got to get everybody to believe that they are a valued part of the franchise and of the plan to win.
Yeah, and I think even if some of those players are, you know, kind of skeptical, it's about trusting. And okay, well, you know what? I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to trust he knows what he's doing and he's doing this. And
yeah.
You know, you get there. It doesn't happen overnight, by the way. It doesn't. You can't. There's going to be a new
right.
guy.
He doesn't come in and just say, hey, correct. I'm Ralph Krueger. Hey, we're buying in.
Yeah, what's the story what's the story about Pat Riley when he recruited LeBron? He walked in and threw the rings on the table. That's how he did it.
That's pretty good.
He just walked in and threw rings
now,
on the table.
Look, when you're like, I mean, maybe Joel Quenneville walks into right. Florida and throws his three cup rings on the table. That's, listen up, boys.
Exactly, and you can't do that. And Ralph Krueger's not doing that anytime soon. But so he's going to have to work at it. This is going to be something he's going to have to work at with the roster. And, oh, by the way, the guys who aren't here yet, the roster's going to change
sure.
in the next month or so. And we have free agency. We have the draft coming up. We have trades that are going to be made. So he's going to walk in here. He's going to have guys that he can kind of touch and have relationships with and talk to a little bit here or there. But really, the bulk of the work is going to be done later in the summer. And there's going to be work. I mean, this isn't as much as you might be a people person. Doesn't mean the guy you're talking to is a people person.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the guy you're talking to is receptive
right.
to what you're saying. That's right. And it goes back to the communication piece we spoke about earlier when I was talking about teaching and things like that. I could be the greatest communicator in the world. If the person that I'm trying to communicate with doesn't want to hear what I'm saying, it doesn't matter. That's the challenge a lot of times I think that you have in coaching and teaching and communicating.
It's funny. Someone tweeted, you know, you try and put things together. Someone tweeted me earlier and said, do you think that they were waiting for the Premier League season to end, right? He was with Southampton. Is it possible the Sabres were waiting for the Premier League season to end, let that all be done with Krueger, since he was chairman of the club, and then announce the hire? And I hadn't thought about the timing of things because I was thinking this all ties into what Vanek was talking about in terms of he likes to delegate. And I'm thinking, okay, well, then who's his staff going to be? If
right.
it's important that he's not, you know, listen, you know, it's I'm the guy. No, he likes to use his assistants, listen to his assistants if they have good ideas. He likes to delegate. He wants these guys to be involved. The one assistant coach who the Sabres said, don't go out and talk to other teams, was Steve Smith. They gave the rest of the staff permission. You know, when you give the staff permission to look around, I think it's a nice way of saying, yeah, we're probably not bringing you back with the new coach.
Yep.
But the one guy they said not to do that was Steve Smith. Now, it could be they just like him as an assistant coach and want him to work with the young defenseman. He was on Kruger's staff in Edmonton.
Hmm.
Now, again, I don't know. It just made me think all of a sudden, time frame. Like, did he know he wanted Kruger a month ago? Had to wait for the Premier League season to end. Maybe Ralph Kruger says, listen, Jason, really interested, would love to take the job. We got to get our soccer season done with. Please, I don't want to do anything until this is done. Because they keep the one guy on staff who worked with Ralph Kruger.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe just...
I was thinking about this last night when it started percolating and it looked like Kruger was going to be the guy. That I don't know if he'll get asked point blank today, Jason Pottrell, but there will be stories, there will be narratives, there will be people who have opinions or sources or whatever that say to you, he was the blank choice, right?
Yeah,
he was the second choice.
Third, fourth,
he was
whatever.
The third choice. And
maybe
Jason Pottrell says, no, he's my first choice all along. I have no idea. I have no idea. He might just say, we didn't have a first choice. We just had a whole bunch of guys we interviewed, and you know, he showed up in the end as the guy we wanted. But it is, I think, goes to your point of, we don't know. Because there was nothing said through this whole process from anybody down at the Sabres, or it even seemed like leaks.
It was very quiet.
It seemed like there were leaks, but then there were leaks saying, no, that's not true. There was a lot of conflicting reports through this entire process about who was in, who was on, who was out. Whether that was Jacques Martin or Sheldon Keefe or Todd McLellan or whoever it was.
Todd Richards, all these
different
guys.
Yes, they were, this guy's in. No, then someone else says, nope, that guy's not in. He never was considered. Yeah. He was never even interviewed. So Jason Pottrell can literally say, this was my guy all along.
Maybe it was.
He can say that.
Yeah,
and he might be right. We don't know.
Wait a minute. Is this the NFL team say, this was the guy who was number one on our board. He was number one on our draft board, which we never know because nobody ever sees the draft board.
That's right. But you're right. The timing.
Yeah, I don't know. It just made me think.
It
could be completely baloney. But it just made me, I didn't think about it until I thought about the delegation, like the Vanek quote about this guy likes to delegate. When they were at the World Cup of Hockey in 2016, again, when Europe surprises everybody and they finish second, one of the guys on his staff is Paul Maurice, who's currently the coach of the Winnipeg Jets. And again, these are Tom Vanek's comments from the interview with John Vogel. He said, X's and O's at the World Cup, he had his say. But we had Paul Maurice on our staff who was really good with that stuff. That's where Ralph was very good. He knows we had a guy like Maurice on the staff. He's okay with delegating. That shows leadership and character on his part. He wasn't threatened by Paul. He loved Paul, and we trusted the system because he trusted it. They work great together. I love playing for him. I can speak for most of the guys in that they loved him. And I thought, okay, so then you know what's really important with Ralph Kruger? What's the staff that he puts together? If he likes to delegate and he's looking for guys to really help him out on his assistant coaching staff, who do they keep? And that made me think about Steve Smith, how they were he was told, don't look around, let us do what we're doing. And that's why I thought, you know, conspiracy theory. Did they keep Steve Smith? Because all along, Jason Pottrell, who, by the way, did speak to Ralph Kruger 2 years
ago.
When he was in the process of eventually hiring Phil Housley, does Pottrell file it in the back? You know, I'm going with Phil Housley, but Kruger, he came off good in the interview. Did he know that? Right. Maybe he's sitting there all along going, yeah, it's Kruger. Can't hire him now. I mean, you know, they interviewed McLellan, seven guys they supposedly interviewed. So maybe I'm full of baloney.
Well, look.
But it just makes you think, is this the guy that he was targeting as his top choice? And that's why Steve Smith is here. Whatever.
Far be it from Jason Pottrell
to talk ever show stuff.
Take any PR advice from me. Okay. But I think that you know, all he has to do is say, because and this goes for everybody, by the way. I'm not just meaning Jason Pottrell. All any GM or owner ever has to say when these people are introduced and they're hired, and the question is, was he your first choice or second choice or third choice? Is we didn't have a top choice. We had a whole bunch of people we wanted to interview.
Yeah.
And he was the person who
emerged. Impressed. Yeah, whatever.
That's all you got to say. Yeah. We didn't have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Yeah.
We had a whole group of people we put together that we wanted to talk to, And he was the most impressive, and that's who we zeroed in on. That's the person that came out of it. That's really all you have to say. We don't know, but you're right. He could have been first choice, could have been fifth choice. We don't know because there were so many conflicting reports. There is a good question here
in. And by the way, there was never a report, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Sal. I don't think there was ever a report that the job was actually offered to anybody. Like, we have the perception, like there was,
that's
like
right.
McClellan interviewed, right? And I don't know that, right? No one ever actually reported the Sabres made an offer, I don't think, to Todd McClellan.
I can't remember anyone reporting it. It could be. I don't remember. I don't think so.
Supposedly the Sabres wanted him and the Kings wanted him. And
he was weighing his options.
Right, and there was talk that maybe he was using the Sabres to drive up the Kings' price. They didn't want to pay him $5 million a year. The Sabres would. Hey, look, the Kings gave him 5 years and $5 million. I don't know that anyone actually ever did report there was an offer made to anybody on this list. Just interviews.
I also... When was the first time we heard Kruger's name in this search?
I think only within the last couple weeks, right? I don't think it had cropped up at all.
I don't remember it happening early on, right?
No. You know, because I was going back into some of the lists of coaching candidates that everybody was churning out. He's not on there. He's nowhere to be found, quite honestly, in the list. It was, you know, the typical guys, the McClellans and the Tippetts and the Martins and the Todd Richards and Todd Nelson and Sheldon Keefe and top college guys. I don't remember seeing Kruger's name anywhere.
Well, here's a good question. Comes in from Wes on Twitter, at SalSports, at HSimon62. He says, wonder what the new power dynamics between the GM and coach will be. Will the coach have more say? And this is a good question because this happens a lot in football more than hockey, I think, where we say, who has say over the 53?
Right.
Who has control over the roster? And I do wonder here, and it seems to me that Jason Botchell's in charge.
Yeah.
I think this is I don't know this, and the hockey people and Paul will be down there, he can speak more to this, but it doesn't seem like Jason Botchell's giving a head coach a bunch of say in the roster except for the day-to-day lineup, really, is what it comes down to.
We brought this up with Paul. I asked Paul about this when he was on because somebody tweeted earlier in the show and said, hey, because the story here on Kruger is Pierre LeBrun from TSN spoke to Kruger in April. At that point, Kruger had mentioned he'd like to get back to the NHL, but in a president or CEO kind of role, not getting back into coaching. All right, and then a little over a month later, something changes and he's into coaching now. And someone tweeted and said, maybe Botchell sweetened the pot, so to speak, by giving him more say. And from what Paul was saying, I would think Botchell is still going to have the final say.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On trades and free agent signings and contracts. But from what Paul said, like, Phil Housley wasn't consulted. If Botchell was thinking about a trade, he didn't bring it up to Housley and say, hey, what do you think? You know, we got a chance to get Brandon Montour for that, you know, for Gouley. What do you think? He wasn't consulted. So maybe Botchell now will at least run stuff by the head coach. I don't think it changes the power structure. I don't think it means Botchell doesn't have the final say on the construction of the roster. Now, when it comes to game days, it shouldn't. Housley was allowed to dress and play who he wanted to dress and play. Again, according to what Paul told us this morning, it was never a case of Botchell going to Phil Housley and say, you got to play Sobotka. I mean, I traded for him. You have to keep dressing Sobotka and play him, even though he hasn't scored in 53 years. Housley was able to say who he wanted to dress and who he wanted to play. So that's not going to change. Kruger will still get that. I don't think he gets it could be just a matter of, I'll at least keep him in the loop. We'll let Ralph Kruger know which free agents we're going to target, what teams I'm talking to about trades, as opposed to, hey, Phil, you coach the team. I'll put the roster together. And that's how it works.
I'll tell you this.
Like, the Bills do it, it's a
and
group
I prefer
effort, right?
I think, and it just seems like football's more of that way and hockey's the other way, and I don't get it. Like, I think you got to go to your coach and say, what do you need? Like, tell me what you need. I'm going to go shopping for you after you tell me what you think you need. I'll have my opinions, and we can hash through this, and we might even have differing opinions on what you need. But tell me what you think you need, and then we're going to figure this out. And that's pretty much what the Bills do. Like, it's basically Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott talking about, what do we need here? Like, do we need a defensive tackle, a three technique? Do we need another man-to-man corner? Do we, you know, that's what you think you need? Okay, let me see. Let's go to the pro staff. Let's see who's available for agency.
Sean McDermott's down at Houston at pro day, right?
Let's go to the college. Let's see where it fits in either free agency or the draft. It seems to me like generally in hockey, it's the other way, which is I'm the GM, I'm going to make the trades, and you're going to coach the players that I bring into you. I don't know. I just don't think that that's the way it should be run in 2019 in sports, but it seems like hockey is much more that way.
803-0550 to join us as we talk about the new Sabres head coach, Ralph Krueger. When we get back, we're going to be joined by Ryan Rashog from TSN in Edmonton, and he's going to talk a little bit more about Ralph Krueger with us. Let's get you a code word for our Win Cash contest. Text in the word MATH, M-A-T-H, MATH, right now to 72881. You have until 10 o'clock to text the word in. When you do, please keep in mind that message and data rates may apply. Again, it is MATH, M-A-T-H, and you can text that to 72881. Your chance to win $1,000 in the National Win Cash Contest from WGR.
Sometimes you've got your player and you've got one guy making $10 million. You've got other guys making $6 million. You've got other guys making, you know, still a lot of money. And the coach doesn't make as much. And it's a power imbalance, right? I remember when I was doing some research when he was coaching Team Europe in 2016 and whether or not he'd be back. And somebody who knows Ralph Krueger really well says, you know, I know you guys are talking about going to the NHL as a coach. And I go, yeah. And he goes, he doesn't need that job. And he kind of winked. And I was like, okay, I get what you're talking about there. So I think that this is a guy, if he's going to do this, it's going to be because he wants the challenge.
That is Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet talking about Ralph Krueger returning as a coach in the National Hockey League. Had one season as head coach in Edmonton. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. Again, the Sabres have made it official, have issued the press release that Ralph Krueger is the 19th head coach in Buffalo Sabres franchise history. Jason Botchel will be meeting with the media this morning. He is back in town, has some scouting meetings to attend to, and the new coach will have a media conference call at 12:30 this afternoon. Excuse me. We'll have everything covered, of course, here on WGR. Instigators are following us at the top of the hour, and they will give you their opinions and their thoughts on the new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. You can give us yours at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550, and we'll talk more about the new coach, who has not a lot of time in the NHL, just 3 years from his time in Edmonton, 2 years as an associate coach, 1 year as a head coach. The bulk of his hockey experience comes in international coaching scenarios and competitions with Switzerland, where he ran a whole bunch of international team or national programs for Switzerland over the course of like 12, 13 years, and then was the coach for Team Europe. He was also an advisor, senior advisor, something like that, for Team Canada at the Sochi Olympics, but he coached Team Europe to a second place finish at the 2016 World Cup, and that is one of the better parts of his resume, so to speak. Yeah, I guess that's the way I'd phrase it. All right, we're getting your calls in, and we're going to check in Edmonton in a moment. With Ryan Rashog from TSN. Chris tweeted in, not sure, but fully behind him now. Hope he gets time on the decision to bring in Krueger. Yeah, you know what? I forgot to check. Vic tweeted in, there's a connection. I read it this morning. There was a connection between Jason Botchel's dad and Ralph Krueger. I want to say maybe Krueger. I'll look it up. I know I saw it this morning. And I'll have to get it for you. But the bigger connection, I think, if you're trying to go connect Botchel and Krueger, is Jason Botchel talking to him 2 years ago when he was looking for a coach here? Mm-hmm. He ends up hiring Housley. He did speak with Ralph Kruger at the time, who was with Southampton as the chairman of the football club. On our Western Hotline is Ryan Rashog from TSN Edmonton. He is their Edmonton Bureau reporter. Ryan, thanks. I know it's a hectic morning for you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes here on the show this morning.
Yeah, no problem. I, as much as anybody, understand how big the news is when the team in town hires a head coach. There's been about 70 of them in Edmonton over the last 7 years. So I know it's a big day.
Yeah. And I think half of them were in consideration for this job.
No kidding. Like they've been using each other as negotiating negotiating leverage for a number of jobs so far.
Ryan, I think Sabre fans, among the things they're wondering, okay, so he only had 1 year as head coach in Edmonton. He's on the staff for 3, 1 year as head coach. He goes 19-22-7, and he loses the job when they decide to go with Dallas Eakins. How did his team look? How did they play in that 1 year? Go beyond the record and explain what you saw in that 1 year with Kruger as head coach.
Yeah, so you know, he got quite a bit out of the group for most of the season. They were in a playoff position late into the year, and he had them going pretty good. I think like Ralph is he's a communicative coach. He's a player friendly coach. He's a communicator. He's an open door guy who he's not just this is what the way I want it done and that's the end of it. I think he understands that you need to explain things a little more for today's athletes. So from a standpoint of being player friendly and communicating, I think he did a really good job, and he did a nice job unlocking some guys who, you know, under other coaches didn't thrive nearly as much. Take a look at Neil Yakupov's statistics under Ralph Kruger. Those were the best statistics of his career. So he has a nice touch with certain individuals and certain players, and I think players respond really well to him. Where Ralph got himself into trouble was towards the end of the season, and I believe they were in a playoff position right around April 3rd or so. They went on a run where they lost 9 out of 10 games and dropped out of the playoffs and ended up missing the playoffs that year. And I remember in that time, one of my criticisms of Ralph in that moment was, he's not adjusting enough. He's not, the you know, coaches, when they get into these slides, they learn how to kind of saber rattle and shake their team out of it. He's not adjusting enough. He's not moving guys around enough. He needs to be doing more to try and shake this because the season is falling through their fingertips. And they lost 9 out of 10 games and missed the playoffs. And then Craig McTavish was wooed by Dallas Eakins and decided to make, he made a mistake. He absolutely made a mistake in letting Ralph Kruger go and hiring Dallas Eakins. Dallas wasn't ready yet. Ralph deserved more of an opportunity than he got, but what armed Mac T with the ability to do that was that awful losing streak they went on that cost them the playoffs.
You know, I'm telling you right now, Ryan, Sabre fans are listening to you, and you did not make them happy. They are shaking their heads, because what you just described is exactly what happened with Phil Housley in the last 4 months of this season.
Okay, well, what I'll say next might make them feel better. One of the things that we tend to label people with is, you know, they make a mistake and that's just who they are and they're never going to be able to change. And that's just who they're always going to be. Ralph Kruger is one of the most cerebral individuals I've ever dealt with in hockey. He is smart. He's not arrogant smart, not cocky smart. He's just really smart. Mm-hmm. So I can guarantee you that experience is something Ralph Kruger will have learned from, and that he will be able to look himself in the mirror, self-evaluate, and adjust moving forward. He's not somebody who's so stubborn, and maybe you guys have heard that word in that city a little bit. He's not someone who's so stubborn not to be able to adjust and learn. So I don't say that to, you know, send fear into the hearts of Sabres fans.
Yeah.
I think this is a good hire. I really think this is a good hire. Ralph, I think for the way that team is set up, for the players on that team, for a player like Eichel, I think Ralph Kruger is going to be tonic for a player like Eichel.
I know.
And I think he's going to be able to get a lot out of him.
I know Sal's got a question, but it's funny. Man, you are hitting the high points here. The not adjusting is Housley, and the stubborn guy was Bylsma. So thank you for hitting the last two head coaches in this segment.
There you go. And Ralph has the ability to, he can be a bit of a chameleon. He can do what he needs to do. He's a very intelligent guy, evidenced by the fact that the caliber of jobs that he went on to after doing, you know, after being an NHL head coach. This guy runs major organizations and knows how to manage, knows how to give other people tasks. He's a smart, smart guy, and I think given more of an opportunity than he had at Edmonton, he's going to figure it out, probably faster than most first-time NHL head coaches.
Hey, Ryan, before the season starts, he's going to be, Ralph Krueger, 60 years old. This is a very young Sabres roster, especially the top-end talent, like a Jack Eichel, a Sam Reinhardt, a Rasmus Dahlin, guys like that. From what you saw in Edmonton, will there be any type of communication barrier? I know he's a communicator, but there is a difference between a 60-year-old head coach and a roster which most of are 25 or younger.
Yeah, and that's a fair question. I guess what I'd say is, you know, pay attention in his press conference, and you tell me if you sense any sort of lack of energy or lack of ability to communicate. Like Ralph is, that surprised me when you said he was 60. He'll be a young 60. I don't think communication is going to be an issue. I don't think that dealing with younger athletes is going to be an issue. Neil Yakupov was, I mean, so whether you're dealing with a 23-year-old and a 60-year-old man, or an 18-year-old, and what would Ralph have been then, 54, 55? It's about the same amount, right? And Ralph Krueger did an excellent job with Neil Yakupov, a young Russian player who came into the NHL with all sorts of piss and vinegar, wanting to do things his way. Ralph did enough to let that kid spread his wings, but also reined him in enough to make him a usable player. This is his specialty. His specialty is communicating and getting a lot out of his players. That's what he's designed to do as a coach. Now, as far as strategy and, you know, coach versus coach matchups and all that stuff, he's got tons of coaching experience, but he'll be doing it against the best in the world in the NHL. And so there will be a learning curve there, but his communication is his specialty, in my opinion.
And maybe dovetailing off of that, Ryan, we also hear about his ability to motivate, and he's a motivational speaker, and he wrote a book. And we're reading some comments from the guys on the 2016 Europe team that played for him about how, you know, he cares about everybody. He got all of us to come together as a group, buy in, all that stuff. What about that side of him when you saw it in Edmonton? Again, maybe it didn't pay off in the record, but from the first guy to the 23rd guy on the roster, was he able to, quote-unquote, motivate, get players to buy into whatever he was telling them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, no coach is going to unlock every single player.
Right.
Right. Every coach is going to have their four or five guys that they just can't seem to get to. Nobody bats 1,000 with their lineup. The trick is to get enough guys and, you know, for maybe the guys that you don't have, for them to at least still be willing to you know, try to run through a wall for you.
Yeah.
And I think that he did that year. That team was, you know, the lower end of their lineup wasn't fantastic, but he got 50 points in 45 games out of a young Taylor Hall, right? Taylor Hall was, I mean, he's an excellent player, but he'll admit when he came into the league, he was a cocky young kid that needed to be shown the way. He did a good job with a very young Taylor Hall. Jordan Eberle had a hell of a time saying Eberle's name properly. I'm not sure why. We always chuckled about it, and so did he. Called him like Eberle, or it was very strange.
It's weird. Yeah.
A young Justin Schultz he did a good job with as well. So one thing you guys will find, if you have the opportunity to meet Ralph off camera and shake his hand and talk to him, he asks you questions. He wants to know about your life, genuinely cares. He'll be a very genuine coach who wants to know how his players truly are. And, hey, how are you? Won't just be, you know, like a platitude with him. That's just who he is as a person. And I think that's reflected in his relationships with his players. Now, these are pro athletes, and they're millionaires, and they're a different type. And so not all will respond to that sort of thing. It's different guys are motivated by different things. But I believe today's athlete needs a coach with the ability to communicate and get through to the player and be willing to explain things. And that's why I think this is a good hire. I think that the tactics and all those other things, you can work with your staff and it can be a work in progress, but I think he's going to be able to unlock players, and I think that's what's needed in Buffalo.
Sounds like you're describing the other coach we have here, Sean McDermott, to be quite honest with you, on the football side of things. I could tell you from firsthand experience, I was on Rex Ryan's sideline for 2 years. I don't think he ever knew my name as a sideline reporter. The minute I met Sean McDermott, a half hour later, he's asking me about my family, remembering my name, and that goes a long way with a lot of guys, and I think that showed up. I do want to ask you before we let you go, Ryan, as far as the actual rosters right now, a lot of talk about Rasmus Ristolainen. He's been mentioned maybe even going to Edmonton for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. What would be the likelihood of something like that happening?
Good question. And there's a new GM in town, so I wouldn't have had enough conversations with him yet to get a sense, you know, to kind of handicap the likelihood. What I would say is that the Oilers have a shortage of skilled forwards who can put the puck in the net and contribute and help take some of the burden off McDavid and Draisaitl. So Nugent Hopkins has always been the fix for the blue line. Every single time they pursued a defenseman to help out their blue line, it's always been Ryan Nugent Hopkins. A couple years ago, they could have done Ryan Nugent Hopkins for Matt Dumba. It was always Ryan Nugent Hopkins' name in the Tyson Berry rumors. His name is always tied to that key defenseman that they need to bring in. And so far, they have not been willing to do it, and I don't blame them. So I don't know that they're willing to make him the centerpiece of a deal for that defenseman. They've also got Evan Bouchard coming, who was probably a year away, but an excellent young right-shot offensive defenseman. I think they'll try and fix their blue line using potentially that number 8 pick, potentially some other young assets that they have. I don't know that they're going to be willing to move Nugent Hopkins to do it. And on Ristolainen, it's an interesting one. We talk about him at Edmonton all the time. The question I would have, I think the player the Oilers are looking for is a dynamic offensive right-shot player who in the right situation could push 60-plus points. I don't know if given the exact same minutes every single night and the exact same power play time, I don't know how many more points Ristolainen finishes with than Darnell Nurse. Might be within 5 or 10 points through the course of an entire year. So I'm not sure that Ristolainen is the dynamic offensive talent. He's steady, does a lot of things well. You guys would know that better. You tell me, in the right situation, is he a 60-point defenseman?
No. And in fact, you don't want to give him the minutes to try and get him up to a 60-point defenseman. You don't want to play him. No, I'm not trying to be a jerk, Ryan.
Not at all. That's
the
good
minutes,
to know. And that's
the minutes
somebody who watches him play every day.
The minutes he's getting here, you don't want him getting those minutes. He can't be a 25-minute guy. He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be in the lead role. I think there's nothing wrong with it. He's a 40-point guy. If you're looking for more points, you're going to be looking for more ice time, or you're thinking he's going to get his game to a higher level. I think he is where he is, and I think if you asked more from him, you're not going to get it.
But does he quarterback a number one power play?
I mean, Mike Dahlin would be the number one quarterback guy here, but ahead of Ristolainen, and I would have him on
a
number
two.
Does
he have the ability to, though? You know what I mean?
Yes, he can. His decision making too. Sometimes when he decides to go into the offensive zone, sometimes when he just throws pucks on the net when there's just no reason to make the shot, and all of a sudden you're giving up possession. It's just there are decision making questions with him. I don't think he can be a 60-point guy.
Yeah, and I believe that's what the Oilers need, is a dynamic guy who has the ability to be that true power play quarterback. Work that power play along with Connor McDavid, walks the blue line well, versatile, agile. I think they're looking more for the Tyson Berry type than necessarily the bigger Colton Parayko type. Although Parayko would look good as an Oiler too. So it'll be interesting. There's always talk about Edmonton and Buffalo in this deal. Ever since they drafted number one and took that D-man, they've been tied together. We'll see if Ken Holland actually gets something done or not.
Well, it's 7:48 there, and Ryan is juggling 5 kids and was nice enough to give us a few minutes while being a dad. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Enjoy Ralph Krueger. I'll tell you what, he'll be an absolute pleasure to deal with on the media front. And, he's one of those guys that will make himself available, and he'll answer your questions honestly, and that, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. All right, Ryan, thank you again. Have a good day.
Okay, see you guys.
We'll wrap up the show in a moment. Instigators Top of the Hour will continue their coverage, our coverage, by the way, of the hiring of Ralph Krueger as the Sabres' new head coach. Hey, so we can officially close the book on the Sabres Coach Watch. It is Ralph Krueger. Our Coach Watch on WGR was brought to you by Straight Up Wines and Liquors. Go straight up Elmwood to Washington and Kenmore for savings, selection, and service. Instigators next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.